Welcome to the Open House podcast site. Available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Pastor Anne Lowe is the head of the Malaysian National Prayer Network, and what she's wanting to do is unite people of all denominations to pray for the welfare of their country, Malaysia. She's been in Melbourne and Sydney this week, and she's dropped by Open House to say hello.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, hi.
Hope you've had a good trip.
Yes, very, you know, very exciting.
How often do you get to Australia?
The last day I was here was in December 2006, not very often.
So you've done Melbourne, Sydney. Have you gotten to the other, any other cities?
No, I haven't been yet. Yeah.
Okay, that's for the other trips.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, it's great to meet you, and it's fascinating to hear about this this work that you're doing. Just give us a snapshot of Malaysia first when it comes to the culture, when it comes to the religious makeup of Malaysia.
Yeah, what we have is that we have about 27 million, and we have 60% Malays, and we have 20% of the Chinese, and more than 10% of the Indians, and we do have like Punjabis and other races.
Mm-hmm.
And but at this moment we do have a lot of migrants from Southeast Asia who are there, even from Nepal, Bangladesh. Yeah, so it's really a mix of many ethnic people group, and even for East Malaysia we have many tribes, you know, from Sabah and Sarawak.
Yeah. Okay, and so obviously that would make the place a melting pot religiously, wouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yes.
But what would be the dominant religious? Would it actually be Islam still?
Yes, yes, it is, yes.
What percentage?
About 60%.
Yes.
Yeah, and Christianity is about 10%.
Yes.
Yeah, we do have that.
And
the other religion would be Hinduism and Taoism, Buddhism, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this network that you started in 2007. What prompted you to start such a network to get people praying?
Actually, it's not that I who started it. I was with the National Evangelical Christian Fellowship in the year 2000, and that was the time that a group of us came together, and we were doing prayer for a big big meeting with Carlos Anacondia in 1999. And we just felt that, you know, it was not just to pray for an event, but we need to continue to pray for our country. And so that was the time that that started, you know, to mobilize Malaysians to pray for the nation. I think it is an awareness at that time. So for the last 7 years and 8 years, it has been like on a national, wide scale, you know, getting people to love and pray for Malaysia. So it has been a real journey for the last 7-8 years. Yeah.
How many people have you got enlisted to do that?
Well, we have about 12, but we have different states.
12 people.
We do have Pastors Fellowship that we work in every state. There are about 14 states in Malaysia. So we work with a lot of, you know, pastors. And
So you've got 12 leaders who work with you on this. But how many people
have been mobilized?
Malaysia?
Yes. We have come up to about 100,000.
100,000?
Yes.
You have 100,000 Malays praying for their country.
Malaysians, you know, believers. Believers that pray for, for Malaysia.
100,000.
Yeah. And that we also have together with children and the young people. They are praying, yeah. So it has been a really, really... you know, I mean, to me, it's like, God, you did it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is God who loves our country, and that he has put that love in the believers, in Christians who wants to pray for our nation.
100,000 people praying for their country. Just imagine what that would do. Okay, well, what does it do? I mean, why do you believe in prayer? I mean, some would actually say, well, what are you doing? You know, you're shooting words up into the air. You know, why do you believe in prayer?
Well, you know, I wasn't a Christian, okay? Maybe I can share it from my own perspective. I wasn't a Christian. I've been a Taoist. I grew up in a Taoist. And it was a point of a real need in my life. And I had my aunt, my brothers, who have gone to church, and they bring back tracts, and they share the gospel to me, and they say, God is real. And so it was one night that I really cried out to God. I said, God, if you're real, you better show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did that.
Did he? What way?
Well, and, you know, it was like a guidance of the Lord. And he opened doors just as he brought my, you know, me to a church.
Uh-huh.
And I came with my son. My son was only 5. And here I come to this church before I left. And this pastor come and say, you know, Jesus loves you. And I say, how can Jesus love me? I'm a sinner. You know, I mean, what do I deserve, Jesus? I had a failed marriage, and I was like nobody, and I was, yeah, it's like, you know, how can a God, I mean, to me, you know, I pray to other gods in my, as a Taoist, but they don't hear my prayer, and here, and through a pastor come and tell me that Jesus loves me. So it's amazing, and from there onwards, you know, as I go to church, and I hear this pastor say, you know, God speak to me. And I say, God, it's not fair. How come you speak only to pastors? You must speak to me. And that was how I learned to hear from God, you know, and through the Bible.
Yeah.
And he has spoken to me even audibly. It's like, wow, this is amazing.
That right? Is that right?
And so it has been like since 83. So it's been quite a while.
I think if we have ears to hear, God will speak, won't he? You know, if we really are seeking after God, no matter what persuasion we are or whatever, he will take us as we are. But if we really want to seek after God, I think of that book of Jeremiah and that wonderful verse within it, you know, you know, you will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart.
That's right.
And that he will actually be, he will speak to us.
Yeah, and I've really heard a lot of testimonies from people who really, really cry out, like you say, you know, sincerely, really seeking God. God, where are you? You know, if you're real, you show yourself. And God will show in many ways. I mean, not, in the ways that you can identify that there's a real God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pastor Anne Lowe is with us. This is Open House across the nation. She's the leader of Malaysia National Prayer Network, 100,000 people. She's mobilized to pray for Malaysia. Have you seen any answers specifically to your prayers for the well-being of the nation?
Pardon?
For the well-being of the nation. No, that's
well-being. Okay. Yeah. You know, well, number one, I think, you know, to be able to get so many people to pray, I think that's a miracle.
I think so.
Okay.
Number one, yes.
Number one. And that is like, many say, okay, how do you pray for the nation? So we have this, you know, research, and we have this written out information about the nation. And people are aware, okay, this is what is happening. And, you know, this is what is the constitution. I mean, lay people don't care, you know, don't bother. And so we are asked to pray for the government, right? And some of us are very angry even with the government. And I hope to pray for them. So, but because there was an awareness, there was information sustains intercession, you know, given. And it kind of like... it created an awareness, and it has brought, I believe, a change of heart, you know, Christians, a change of heart towards our nation. And as we pray, it is us who change. I mean, I want to confess here, I was mobilizing prayer in a church, and there was this lady who said, pay to Caesar what you owe to Caesar, pay to God. And here I was struggling, paying my income tax. You would not believe. And God is saying, hey, you know, you are like, how can you ask people to pray for the government? You're cheating the government. And there was also a seven-year-old girl who said that. I asked her one day, I said, Esther, can you ask God whether Malaysia is a good country? And she said, okay. And she bent down and she said, and she just waited. And she said, yes, God said Malaysia is a good country. And I said, seven years old. And I said, Esther, you know, ask God, how do we pray for our government? And she bent down and said, obey him. I said, what do you mean? Mean our government obey him? Say, no, we must obey him. Then our government will obey him. So that's prayer.
Isn't that interesting that, you know, the first changes that you are seeing as a result of your prayers is actually change in the people praying?
Yeah. So it's our heart.
Straight away, it's actually, this has got to be something that's taken personally rather than just, you know, God change all those horrible people out there. No. God change us. God change us.
Yes, God changes.
For the sake of the nation.
Yes, and I believe many young people, you know, children, they are without, I mean, they don't see other race as another race. We see just as one, you know, as their friends. And this is what is creating that in the young people, in the children, you know, as they pray for Malaysia.
You talked about a seven-year-old praying.
Yeah.
Do you have many children that are part of this 100,000?
Yes, we do have that. Even, in fact, we started prayer conference in 2005 and in 2006, 2007. Okay. And we had one time, we have about 800 who comes and be in a prayer
800 children?
Yes, 800 children. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, God is doing such an amazing, not just in Malaysia, he's doing it globally, because I'm also part of the Children in Prayer Global Consultation. And even Melbourne, I mean, I just prayed for 33 children.
Mm.
I mean, I am so blessed by them.
Mm.
There's one, you know, I said, let's just invite the Holy Spirit. And I asked one boy, I said, Tim, do you think I can come to your house without being invited? I said, no. And I said, okay. Likewise, you know, the Holy Spirit need to be invited. And little boy who's 7 years old, Nicholas, said, come, Holy Spirit, you can come right into my house right now.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, yeah, beautiful.
I mean, as adults, you find it refreshing, right?
Yes, I bet so. That's just amazing. So you've got this wide variety of people that are praying, children included, and they want to. It's not that they're forced by their parents. They actually want to pray.
Yes,
they're actually...
Yes.
My experience has been, the greater the prayer, mm-hmm. The greater the miraculous experiences. Have you seen any, you know, significant... Well, every answer to prayer is significant.
Yes.
That's not the right word.
Yeah.
Dramatic answers to prayer.
Okay, we have seen, you know, a tsunami in our general election last year. Okay, after like 7 years of 40 days prayer and fasting, and here comes, you know, the general election, and we felt that God really wants to take us seriously. Are you willing to really, really pray for a change? And we saw that, you know, many people were able to just take up, you know, we did a 24-hour prayer, you know, everybody signed up. Yeah, there were people just gone in, and we have seen that, you know, change in our political scene, yes.
And what about other things like, I mean, do you pray for personal needs? Do you pray for physical needs for anybody? It's primarily focused on the well-being of the nation. But
yes.
Do you incorporate that as well? Or?
Oh, yeah. We do that, but not, I mean, we will ask them to be with a local church, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a local church, there are always prayer meetings on. Yeah, so we will focus and, yeah.
So, and is prayer a gift or a discipline?
Someone just asked me, who runs this prayer house. I just want to find out how's your prayer life. I say, well, it's come to a point where I don't say, okay, God, I'll talk to you from 8 to 9,
yeah.
And after that, that's it. It's like waking up, Lord, you know, conversation with the Lord. I've asked God, what are you doing this morning?
Mm-hmm.
And he answered back, I'm painting. I said, what are you doing? Painting. And then later he will reveal, you know, just conversation, just engaging him, you know, in whatever. And I like to go for walks,
mm-hmm.
pray with him, you know, pray to him, talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some people have and I think you're probably one of these people, though, that do have a significant ability to pray. That there almost seems like there are some that are set apart within the Christian church to specifically be leaders in prayer. All of us are called to pray.
Yes.
And yet some almost have that gift of intercession, as it's sometimes called.
Yes.
That gift of praying without
ceasing
for everybody and for all sorts of needs.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you can say that as a gift, okay? I believe that is, you know, in a way, yeah. And at times when I, like even today, I was really tired after praying for 50 people, including 33 children in a children's service.
Mm.
And my friend said, come, let's pray for this couple. Let's go, you know. And I just pray. I went to the house and this couple had just lost their son 2 years ago. And we prayed for the husband. And then we prayed for the wife. And the wife just had laughter, and the husband said she had never laughed.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't laughed for more than 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, you know, it is like, you know, you're tired. And yet, you know, when you know that God will just, when you're weak, then he make you strong.
Yes,
it's like, okay,
yes.
Lord, it's not about me now. There are needs out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who need your touch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, mm-hmm. yeah.
What encouragement do you give, or can you give, for people who are listening who say, well, I'd like to have a prayer life like that, you know? I'd like to have a prayer life like that.
Yeah, I think the Lord just put that ever since I believe when I was a young Christian. I've always said, God, you know why? I just love to pray for people. It's like, oh, is that normal? And I begin to find out, oh, intercession, prayer partners, and I read books on prayer, and I begin to pray with people who can pray. And so I learned a lot of that. And that's how, you know. So for people who really wants to pray, I think just like little children, I learned so much over the last 2 years. Just be like a child. Mm-hmm. I mean, like a little child. I don't know. Do you have little children?
No, I don't. I've got some little nieces, and they're cute enough.
Now, when they are young, when they're small, they like to talk, right? Mm-hmm. They like to ask you questions. They like to communicate. But when they're teenagers, if you ask them a question, you know, and then when they become bigger, no more communication.
Apart from your son. I've met your son. He's out in the foyer and he's very communicative. But anyway, yes. Yeah, go on.
So it's just that. And I believe the Lord wants us to be like little children, communicating with him all the time, asking him, you know, questions, conversation, talk to him. If you're angry, you know, let's just throw anger at him. And, you know, he likes that. He loves that.
I love it. Well, may God bless you in your continued work as you raise prayer partners to see the nation of Malaysia changed.
Yes, and just, can I say one more thing? Yeah, when I was praying one time for Malaysia, I just saw this vision of Jesus carrying Malaysia in his arms and presenting it to the Father, you know, on the throne, and say, Father, spare Malaysia. I have died for Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, it really, really changed my heart, you know, towards praying for my own nation. And I believe this is what God wants. God has really, really given his life, not just for Malaysia, but for many, many nations.
Yes. Wonderful to talk to you. Thanks for dropping by.
Okay, God bless you.
Great to have you on Open House. Pastor Anne Lowe, head of the Malaysian National Prayer Network. You might be inspired to pray for Malaysia now after you've just heard what Pastor Anne has had to say. prayer.net.my.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.